We've introduced a fine couple to our assembly who are going to be working among us. We've sung some great songs. We've seen a challenge to ride for refugees. And I have a question for you. How many here this morning want to experience the blessing of God in their lives? Thank you. The next one's a little harder. How many of you here are willing to do what it takes to experience the blessing of God in your lives? Praise the Lord. Well, the word blessed or blessed is used about 25 times in the Psalms, but it doesn't always mean the same thing in every case. For instance, in Psalm 103, the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of his benefits." In this case, the word bless means to kneel in an act of adoration to God, to praise him for all that he has done for us. Then in Psalm 128, a song of ascents of Solomon, the writer wrote, "Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways." And in this case, the word implies happiness, a great amount of happiness. In fact, it means, oh, the happiness many times over is the one who fears the Lord. And that is the kind of blessing that I want to address this morning. The type of blessing that brings with it a great deal of happiness. People today want happiness and joy in their lives. But oftentimes it's misunderstood as to how we can have that happiness. Some believe that success equals happiness and will go to great lengths to be successful. Steve May said this, "There's nothing wrong with success, with wanting success. But most of our problems are caused by pursuing success in the wrong way. We make the mistake of thinking that success is money or power or possessions or prestige. And none of these things brings lasting contentment that people want from success. The result is that many people spend their lives climbing the economic ladder, thinking that things will make them happy, that they never find true happiness. And no matter what you earn, or who you are, or what you own, if you're miserable, you're a failure. Success, quickly defined, is knowing God's will and doing it, discovering God's plan for your life and living it. This could take you to Wall Street, or it could take you to Skid Row. Wherever it takes you, if you live out God's will, then you will be successful." Well, in 1887, a 60-year-old man from the USA paid for his groceries with a $20 bill. And the clerk happened to notice that the green ink came off on her hands because her hands were wet. But she never gave it much thought at the moment because she knew Emmanuel Linger was a fine, upstanding man. But she couldn't put the thought out of her head, and so she decided that she would call the police. And when she contacted the police, the officers came to the grocery store, and one officer looked at the bill and said, "Looks good to me. I wish I had 100 of them." But the other man questioned, "Then why did the ink come off on the clerk's hands?" So the officers got a warrant, and they went up into Emmanuel's attic in his house, and on the easel, he was a painter, on his easel, he had a $20 bill nearly completed. And so he was arrested, and he was taken to jail. The funny thing is that while he was in jail, three of his paintings sold for the price of $16,000. And the amount of time that he had spent trying to craft a $20 bill was equal to the amount of time that it would have taken him to paint a painting worth $5,000. The only way to experience the blessing of God, the only way to know happiness many times over and thus be successful, is to walk every day in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. This leads to happiness. This leads to spiritual prosperity. Going the other way can lead to a very unhappy life and spiritual poverty. Emmanuel Linger compromised, and he lost everything in the process. The psalm that we are going to look at very briefly this morning teaches us how to experience God's blessing, which leads to spiritual prosperity. It also teaches that those who choose to reject God can expect to perish. Let's read Psalm 1 together. How blessed is the man, there's the word. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. As you can see, this psalm compares the walk of two individuals, whom the psalmist calls the righteous and the ungodly. Two paths, two destinies. Which path are you on today? The path of the righteous or the path of the ungodly? The path of compromise, the path that leads to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, or the path that leads away from happiness forever with Jesus Christ? Many people today who carry the name Christian are unfruitful in their lives because they are walking down the wrong path. They are keeping the wrong company. They're following the wrong crowd. They're living lives of compromise. They're like Emmanuel Linger, using their time and their talents for something that gives little or no return and end up spiritually bankrupt. They have forgotten where true happiness is found, the true riches that can only be found in Christ, because in him, the Bible says, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that's why our psalmist in Psalm 1 preaches, how blessed is the man, woman, boy, or girl who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. He is trying to convey the idea that there is abundant joy, that there is happiness many times over in living a righteous life, a life that honors and a life that serves Jesus Christ. Lot in the Old Testament was called righteous Lot in the New Testament by the Apostle Peter. And Lot and Abram were together, and Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen were fighting over pasture land. And so Abram suggested that they separate and not fight. And so he gave Lot the choice of all the land. And so in Genesis chapter 13, verses 11 to 13, it says, so Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan. And Lot journeyed eastward, and they separated from each other. Lot chose the land near the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He walked, as it were, in the counsel of the ungodly. And it goes on to say that Abram settled in the land of Canaan, with Lot, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley, and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly, and sinners against God. Lot stood in the path of sinners. And then in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, we find Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom. Lot sat in the seat where the scoffers sat. Now, we might say that Lot wasn't affected by what he chose to do. But you know, the New Testament says that his righteous soul was tormented day after day by the lawless deeds that he saw. Did he have to live there? He didn't, but he chose to do so. And the end result of his choices were that God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and in that process, Lot lost his home. He lost his wife. He lost his sons-in-law, and even lost his dignity. What we choose to do as Christians deeply affects not only ourselves, but it affects others as well. Another illustration from the Old Testament is the man Joseph. And we all know that Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph to commit adultery with her. And she begged him to be with her. But we read those great words in Genesis chapter 39, verse 8. But Joseph refused. Potiphar's wife wasn't about to give up on it. And so she grabbed Joseph by the cloak and tried to drag him down with her. And Joseph left the cloak behind and ran. He fled and went outside, the scripture says. What did it cost him to do what was right? What did it cost him to refuse to walk and sit and stand with sinners? It cost him imprisonment. And at this point, we might say, how did serving God benefit him? What good did it do for him to serve God? Well, his character remained intact. His testimony stood firm. And like the man D.L. Moody said, character is what you are in the dark. And another commented, true character is what we are when nobody's looking, in the secret chambers of the heart. Joseph's character, Joseph's testimony were untarnished, and most importantly of all, God was glorified in the process. He was happy many times over in his heart. He never turned bitter against God because of his trials, and he ended up being the second in command in all the land of Egypt. What a great testimony of serving God. There is great happiness and there is blessing for the person who walks with God and refuses to compromise his or her faith. Now, the word walk suggests a casual walk. And we've all taken a casual walk, maybe along the beach or wherever. And we like to walk along and kick stones and do whatever. We enjoy casual walks. But how often have we said, it won't hurt if I dabble just a little bit? That's following the counsel of the wicked. That's a casual walk along the road to unhappiness. The word stand suggests taking one's stands, and you can picture a soldier or maybe a mounted police standing there. And the word path gives us an idea of a marked out, precise way. And just as the path of sinners is marked out, so is the path of the righteous marked out. The problem is we have to choose, just as the man Joshua did in the Old Testament, as to which life we want, as to which life we want to take a stand for and settle down with. And I believe that many counseling sessions could be eliminated if people chose to take a stand against sin, because sin has serious consequences. God will forgive any sin that I commit. Praise the Lord for His grace. And I was thinking about that this morning. For His grace in my life and forgiving the sins that I have committed. But I may have to suffer the consequences of my sin. Many choose not to stand with the wicked and also not to sit with them. This little word sit means to settle down in a settled down position. We've done it in our lazy boy chairs, put our feet up, and we're relaxed. And how often has it happened over the years? A Christian dabbles in sin, a casual walk along the way. And then he or she takes a stand with a wicked activity. And before long, maybe even unintentionally, we are settled down into that sin and lifestyle. No one ever sets out, I don't believe, to get hooked on anything. But a casual walk and taking a stand and sitting with ungodly behavior can happen so fast. The person who has happiness many times over is the one who walks, stands, and sits with the Lord and with His people. Look at verse 2. His delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, he meditates day and night. David said, "Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day." You know, I wish I could get to that spot in my life. Listen to the Lord's advice to Joshua when he commissioned to take over the leadership from Moses. He said to him, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." And just before the Lord Jesus went to the cross, we know that He prayed for us. He prayed to the Father that we would be sanctified in the truth, because He knew something. He knew something about the truth, that the truth is what sets us free. And He wants us to live in the truth of God's word. J.I. Packer on meditation said this: "Meditation is the activity of calling to mind, thinking over, dwelling on, and applying oneself to the various things one knows about the works and ways and purpose and promises of God." And he goes on to say a number of different things regarding meditation. "It is indeed," he said, "a matter of arguing with oneself, reasoning with oneself out of moods of doubt and unbelief into a clear apprehension of God's power and grace." Then according to verse 3, the person who walks with the Lord will be like a tree. Not just any old tree, but he will be like a tree that is planted by the streams of water. And believe me, I know what it's like to have a tree planted by the streams of water. They're lush, they're green, they're full of life. It's a healthier tree. Their leaves do not wither. And if they are fruit trees, they will be fruitful. The tree itself will look like it is prospering. Well, the psalmist says this is what our lives will be like when we walk and stand and sit with Jesus: strong, fruitful, full of life, and we will prosper spiritually. But notice verses 4-6. "The wicked are not so," or "not so the wicked." Emphatically, he's saying this. In contrast, this person is compared to chaff, which the wind drives away. Useless, of little value. It's what we throw away when we thresh the grain. They will not stand in the judgment. And the word stand here that is used is a little bit different than the one used up above in Psalm 1, verse 1. It means that they are not able to stand erect in the judgment, but they're going to be bowed down. And you know who they're going to be bowed down to? They're going to be bowed down to Jesus Christ, the one who judges the living and the dead. And it is on that day, as Dave reminded us last week, that an account is going to be given. And I want to read some verses from Revelation with regard to that day. This is Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. So you can picture what's happening here. There's a throne. There's one sitting on the throne to whom we are going to answer, and a book is opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them. Again, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name, pay attention to this, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You can be assured this morning that your name is written in the book of life. And you can know for certain today that if you were to die today, that you would go to be with the Lord Jesus. Emmanuel Linger was a man who had a great deal of talent, but he compromised and he lost. He could have been rich if only he had done what was good instead of evil. And you know, churches today are filled with talented people like Emmanuel Linger. People who have gifts and abilities. People who can make a difference for God and for the kingdom of God. And that is each one of us here today that I'm talking about. And indeed, all of those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But this does not mean that we're going to be free of trials. It could be just the contrary. Joseph in the Old Testament is an example of this. But he will only bless those people whose hearts are given over to Jesus Christ. His blessings begin by being saved, by recognizing that the God of heaven loved us enough to send the greatest gift of all, the gift of his Son, to this earth to be our Lord and Savior. It begins by admitting that you are a sinner, both by birth and by practice. It begins by making a decision today to change the direction of your life and drive down a stake, saying, today, I take Christ as my Savior. Today, I give my life to Jesus Christ for service. And as a Christian today, if you have been involved in a lifestyle that you know is wrong, it is time to repent of that sin and make things right with God and man. It is time to drive in your stake as well and say, today, I admit to you, Lord Jesus, that I have been going my own way. I have been living my own life the way I want to live. I repent of this, and I confess that this is wrong and sinful before you. We've been singing, Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. Do we believe that? Time has moved on. We're going to forget that last clip, Devin. But I want to ask finally, will you today drive down a stake for Jesus Christ? And will you this morning make a decision? You've heard the gospel maybe a number of times. And maybe you've been challenged a number of times to walk away from that sin that you've been involved in, but you haven't. But today, drive down a stake and say, I'm going to change that right now. And I'm going to give my all to the Lord Jesus. Because you know, He is worthy. And then and only then can you experience happiness many times over and over and over again. I'm going to give you some quiet moments right now to think about this, to bow your head down, and if you want to talk to the Lord about something, I want to encourage you to do it before you leave that black seat that you're sitting on right now, so that you can do business with God today. Lord God in heaven, we humble ourselves before you because holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Father, we don't really understand completely what all that entails, but we do believe that you're a God who loves righteous living and hates evil. But we also are aware of the fact, Lord God, that you don't hate those who commit sin. In fact, you love them because you demonstrated that through the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us, Lord, in spite of ourselves. And I pray today, Father, that you would help us to live out the commitment that we've made this morning. We've sung about it. And we've agreed in song as we have sung that you are to be adored. So, Lord God, may you give us the strength and the grace this week to live all of that out in our lives. And I thank you today. I thank you for every person that's here. Lord, that soul is so precious to you. It's indescribable. And I pray that you would move each one of us closer to yourself today. We ask this for Jesus' glory and in that wonderful name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If you want to put that last clip on, you can, while people are filing out, or if you want to sit and watch it, you can do that. You might have seen it before.